blue skies and rainbows.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can everyone hear me okay? Good. I thought I would start off this morning expressing gratitude for not being given last week's scriptures. I think that if I would have been handed the transfiguration passages, I would have acted a lot like Peter. I don't know. Three shelters sound like a really good idea to me. I thought Chuck did a beautiful job last week calling us back into the mystery that is Jesus, that is God, that is this season that is being set before us. Thank you, DeAndre, for reading the scripture before I stood up. I also think that these verses that DeAndre just read embody a lot of mystery as well. I think baptism is a very mysterious act, a very beautiful act, something that I'm excited to talk about this morning, something that Jesus set out very clearly is something that he is calling us to do. I also think the wilderness is a very mysterious place, figuratively and metaphorically. The wilderness is vast, it is deep, it is lonely. We don't know, or at least some in the wildernesses that I've been in personally or figuratively been in, I don't know what's out there. It is very mysterious. And then this call that Jesus has at the end of these passages of repent, come and follow me. That is bold. There's a lot of unknown in that, especially during this time period, and we're going to talk about that. It is mysterious. So I am excited to sit in the mystery of what God is calling us today in these scriptures. Will you pray with me? Father God, I pray that you pour the gift of preaching through me. May all the minds and hearts and ears be open to what you have to say to us. And may your spirit rest thick on each individual sitting in this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I love Mark. When I was a freshman at ACU, my first Bible class, you have to take four of them at ACU, was taught by Mike Cope. And he's a fantastic preacher. And he spent the majority of that Bible class that I took in Mark. He loved Mark, so I grew to love Mark. Another reason that I like Mark is I'm a to-the-point kind of person, and so is Mark. Everything in his gospel is immediately, and it moves very quickly. It also leaves a lot up to the imagination. This story that we're about to read, if you can go into some of the other gospels, and it's going to expand on some of the ideas that are in here. But in Mark, we get to kind of read into some stuff, into the mystery of Jesus' baptism and his time into the wilderness. I love how Mark begins this part of the scripture. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee. Mark is brief, and he immediately moves on to other details, but right here, he wanted to make something very clear. Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee. He's a nobody who was born to nobodies in a town that is not famous, that is poor, that is from nowhere. We have just come out of the Advent season. And what we know from the Advent season is that Jesus was born to a carpenter and a teenager. Not famous kings or queens, not even wealthy people, not people's names that you're going to speak of and know. Mark is reminding us that Jesus comes from very humble beginnings. That is extremely comforting to me. And at this beginning of this part, he is coming into his ministry. And the first thing that Jesus does at the very beginning of his ministry is he is baptized. In the verses before this, it is talking about John, this wild man who wore very unique clothes, ate a lot of honey and locusts. And he was calling people to come, listen to this new way of living. There is someone who is coming to save us. Be baptized. Die to your old ways and raise up new. As a little girl, I thought this was really interesting, the story of Jesus being baptized. When I was very young, I would read this and think, oh, cool, Jesus is doing this thing that he is calling me to do later on in my life. And then when I grew up and I was a little bit older, I thought this was actually kind of weird. Jesus was supposed to not sin, right? And I'm called to be baptized to die to myself, to let go of my sins, and live in a different, radical way in the world. Why did Jesus need to do that? He had no sins to begin with. But again, right here at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he is saying, come and do like I do. And so he was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. Torn translated into the Greek. So the Greek form of torn in this passage is only used twice in the Gospel of Mark. Right here, and then after Jesus gives up his last breath and the curtain is torn in the temple. And the way that it is translated in Greek in this is this violent, beautiful act of ripping apart. And so Jesus is baptized, and the heavens are literally, beautifully, radically torn apart. And the Spirit comes down like a dove. And then one of the most beautiful sentences, I think, in the scripture is spoken right here over Jesus. And a voice came from heaven. You are my son, the beloved, and with you I am well pleased. You are my son, the beloved, and with you I am well pleased. One of the things about Jesus' baptism story that I can't ever get away from when I hear it is my own baptism story, which is one of the great things about Jesus being baptized, right? Is when we read it, we reflect back on some of our own stories. And so I was baptized Memorial Day weekend in 1995. I was 12 years old, and we did it Memorial weekend because my grandparents were driving down to pick me up, because when I was growing up, my grandparents lived in Kansas, and they would come pick me up the last day of school and drive me to Kansas, and I would spend all summer with my grandparents, swimming on a swim team out in country fields up there. And so they were going to come down. It was really important that my grandparents, because I was very close with them, were going to be there. And so I went to a pretty large congregation back there, Golf Course Road Church of Christ, out in the middle of nowhere, West Texas. And my dad and my youth minister and I had been talking about being baptized and that I wanted to give my life to Jesus. And so we decided this was a good weekend, and the way that we did that at my church is after the preacher preached, he would make a call, and whoever wanted to be baptized could come down. And so I walked down, I talked to him, everyone was super excited, and then I went back to the baptism area, much like what we have, and I got dressed. One of the things that I remember back then about getting dressed is I don't think they made robes for kids, which was very odd. And so I am wearing this huge white robe that my mom kind of wrapped around me in some way, and I get up there, and it looked very similar to what we have, except our doors were electronic, which was really cool because it kind of hid the baptistry behind it. And so we get up there, and my dad and I had been talking about it the night before. And he said, when we get up there, I'm going to say a few words, and then one of the things that I'm going to ask you is, do you want to follow Jesus or something to that effect? And then I was going to say yes. And then all he said to me is, I will put my hand on your back, and I'm going to put my hand over your face, and then I will lead you back into the water. And I was like, great. So we get up there, and the doors are closed. My dad and I are sitting up there, and some of y'all met my dad. He's kind of a larger man. He's taller and a little bit bigger, so I'm 12. I was like, it's not going to be that big of a deal with him putting me back down into the water. And once we're standing up there and the doors are still shut, I realize my dad is actually pretty nervous too. And then as an adult, I can reflect back on it, and there's two things that I think that were probably going through his head. Is one, I think I was the first person my dad ever baptized. And so that's kind of nerve-wracking. Two, I'm his oldest. I'm sure that was pretty emotional. My dad getting in there, never having baptized someone, and then about to baptize his oldest child. And so we're sitting there, and then seeing my dad nervous, who usually has it all together, makes me extremely nervous. And then there's about 800 people out there, and I'm about to have to say the word yes in front of a lot of people. And then the baptistry, it starts, the doors start opening, and we're standing there. And one of the things that I love about Southwest Central is we all gather up here when someone is going to be baptized. It's very warm. It's very welcoming. There, they turn down all the lights, and then you have spotlights that are on you in the baptism. So I'm sure it's like because everyone wants to be able to see you, but I can't see anyone out there. And so it's dark, and it's silent, and it's just my nervous dad who I don't see nervous very often. And then I'm about to make this life-changing proclamation to the world. And so I can't remember what my dad said, but he says some stuff, and then he pauses, and I say yes. And then he does what he says he's going to do. And later, as I've learned from my husband, Steve, when Steve baptizes someone, I always hear him say, when we get up there and before I dunk you back, you're going to bend your knees, and then you're going to let me do all the work. My dad didn't say that to me. So he puts his hand over my face, and then he goes back. And my little body goes back and my feet go up. And because you're supposed to go all the way under, because every part of your body has to get wet, he just like dunks me down into the water. So all my feet and my whole body goes under. So it was a very clumsy experience. And I remember I came up and he's standing up there. My dad's crying. And I can see my mom crying off to the side. And he was wearing fisherman waders. And he wraps me in his arms. I get his church shirts all wet. Go back and I give my mom a hug and I dress real quickly because it was really important so I could get down and take my first communion with my family because I had never had the juice or the bread before. And it was a beautiful morning. I hope me sharing this story and us listening to Jesus' baptism story has called you to remember your own baptism story. The time when you paused and said, I am going to die to my old ways. And I'm going to come up new. And it's a choice that we make every single morning to die to ourselves and say, I'm not going to live like the world is going to live. And I'm going to follow a radical, very different way, a Jesus way. Now, the ceiling was not ripped open after I was baptized. And a voice did not come through of, hey, Chelsea, I love you. But I do think this sentence right here is such a beautiful, good reminder of us as Jesus followers to have deeply planted into us. We are children of God. We are beloved. And God, He is well pleased with us. His children, come and follow me, this very different way of living. Do like I have done. And be baptized, for you are my children, and I love you. It is these words that I believe sustained Jesus as he is immediately driven into the wilderness after this. So after the voice came from heaven, saying, you are my son, the beloved, and with you I am well pleased. And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. Immediately. So Jesus had this moment where God is speaking these very loving words over him, and then he immediately experiences a wilderness. Again, like I mentioned, you can go into some of the other gospels and you can see what this wilderness was like, how their different translations talk about it. But all we know from Mark is he immediately went. It was 40 days. There were wild things out there. And then angels were with him. I think that captures a lot of what wildernesses are like for us. As you know, Steve and I are big outdoor people. We do a lot of hiking. This last October, we did a 14-miler up a massive mountain in a national park, the Cascades, and we were in the middle of nowhere for a very long time. When you are out there, one of the things that you have to do, we didn't on this trip, but we have on other trips, is you carry bear spray with you. You will see hikers. Some people think it's not a big deal, but it actually is a very big deal. It's this big red can, and a lot of people will buy harnesses and they will put it around their necks. You don't know what you're going to encounter when you're out in the wilderness. There's wild beasts out there. Sometimes when Steve and I are hiking, usually Steve's in the front and I'm in the back, he'll start clapping his hands and making loud noises to proclaim, "We're here, leave us alone." 40 days is also a very long time. So Jesus is out there being tempted with scary wild beasts, very lonely. I also find it fascinating that this is the scripture that we are focusing on at the very beginning of Lent, which is 40 days. Lent began on Wednesday. Wednesday was also a very hard day in our country. In Florida, as many of you have heard, a shooter came into a school and killed 17 people at the very beginning of Lent. There was a famous picture that I'm sure that many of you saw that was posted all over the internet and a lot of news sources of this mom sobbing and another woman comforting her, and she had the ashes put across her forehead. Y'all, I cannot think of a better picture to embody this Lent season that we're walking in. I cannot even fathom the wilderness those 17 families have entered into right now of grief and scaredness and not understanding what's going on. That whole community, the darkness and wilderness they are sitting in right now. This wilderness that Jesus walked into. This wilderness that we are walking into these first 40 days as we begin Lent. As we are journeying to the death of Jesus on the cross. I am sure many of you in here have experienced wilderness in your own life. I know I have. Times in my life that it seems like it's just going on forever. And that the hurt and the pain and the wild beasts and the unknown is not ever going to stop. It is in those times in the wilderness that I will often cry out internally, "How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord, is this going to go on? Will this grief and pain ever stop?" I think about all those moms who have lost children in Florida internally crying out, "How long?" I think about this ministry that Jesus is starting, his journey to the cross. We actually have stories of Jesus crying out to God, "How long? Please take this cup from me." These wilderness places that we get in our own lives, that we see Jesus encounter in his own life. I love that Steve is calling us to, as a church, to give something up for Lent or to add something to your life for Lent, because I think it is through these acts that we can join in this season and sacrifice or be mindful of the season that we're walking into. One of the things that I have done for the last 5 years that Steve and I have both done for Lent is we go vegan, which I often joke about and translate, "I'm hungry all the time during Lent." And so for these 40 days, Steve and I are extremely mindful of what we put in our bodies and of how we eat. And in this mindfulness, it calls me to be mindful of this season that I am participating in. That there is something bigger going on than me. There is this mysterious thing coming up that Jesus is going to die on a cross and then actually raise from the dead. And he gave that example in his baptism. We die to ourselves and we raise up new. That is so radical. That is such a different way of living. And when we do that and we put on Jesus, it's not this preaching or this teaching of everything is going to be good and easy. It is hard. Following Jesus is radical, like I keep saying, and different and hard. It is hard to keep choosing God and his ways when everything else in my life says there's an easier way to do this. I just had that picture in my head of that mom sobbing and the ash on her forehead and this long wilderness she is entering into and praying. I've been in deep prayer for all these families in Florida that they draw near to God and God draws near to them in a mysterious and radical way that is beyond all understanding. Because this does not make sense at all. The wilderness does not make sense. But God's love and His promise to us that we are His children and we are His beloved and He is pleased in us right now. Come, there is a different way of living. Shed your old self and raise up new. And after the angels attended to Jesus, He left the wilderness. And Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." At the end of this passage, Jesus leaves the wilderness and comes to Galilee, and He proclaims these things. In other words, God's kingdom is real. Come and be baptized, for you are a child of God, and He is pleased with you. Lent is a season of wilderness, of fasting, of trudging through, of letting go. But it is also a season of drawing close, of holding to God's promises, and reminding ourselves God loves us a lot. So much so that during these 40 days, we are leading up to the act of where He's going to die on the cross for me, for you, for everyone outside these doors, for everyone in Florida. We are God's children. And in Him, in us, He is well pleased. And that is the voice, and that is the promise that sustains in the wilderness. May we draw close to that as we enter the season of Lent.
How deep the Father's love for